Good morning, and a very warm welcome to you as we gather together for our worship this Sunday. Today we celebrate a Covenant Sunday in the tradition of the Methodist Church. Every year, the Methodists' people make covenant with God where we again have the opportunity to recommit ourselves to serving God and to doing what God calls us to do. And so later in our service, we will have opportunity to make that commitment as we share together in the covenant prayer. And so as we continue our worship, we invite you to sing together as we sing 10,000 reasons we have to worship our Lord. Let's worship our God in our singing.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, worship Your holy name. Bless You, time has come. Still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. Sing like never.
And so we turn to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, for all the reasons that we have to worship you, our greatest reason is that you call us into relationship with you. You invite us. You accept us. And so, Lord, our response is to come in faith, in humility, trusting in your grace and in your mercy. Coming, Lord, to offer you all of ourselves as we worship you. And so it is our prayer that as we offer ourselves this morning, that, Lord, you would be the one who is blessed and honored. We recognize you as the Savior of the world. We recognize you as the Redeemer of all humans. We recognize you as the one who provides for us all our blessings, all the gifts of life, skills, talents, and abilities. And so, Lord, as we offer all of this back to you, we do so in worship of you. You are our God, and today, Lord, we come to make covenant with you. So it is our prayer, Lord, that in all that we offer, you would receive as our worship. We thank you, Lord, for this moment of commitment and covenant. We thank you for you constantly initiating this relationship with us. And when we failed you, when we've let you down, when we've sinned against you, so, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Trusting in your mercy, we come, Lord, asking you to forgive us for all our sins. And so in a moment of quiet, invite you to bring to God your personal confessions as we say sorry to God. Lord, you know us, you know our hearts, you know our actions, you have heard every confession. And so, Lord, in your grace and your mercy, we pray again, please forgive us for all our sins. Set us free from the guilt. Release us, Lord, in this moment to again have restored relationship with you. May we know that in the depths of our being as we accept your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for all your blessings. Thank you for the promise of new life. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first reading this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The Lord says, "The time is coming when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the old covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. Although I was like a husband to them, they did not keep that covenant. The new covenant that I will make with the people of Israel will be this. I will put my law within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. None of them will have to teach their neighbor to know the Lord, because all will know me, from the least to the greatest. I will forgive their sins, and I will no longer remember their wrongs. I, the Lord, have spoken." Our second reading comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Life in God's service. So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect. And because of God's gracious gift to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you should. Instead, be modest in your thinking and judge yourself according to the amount of faith that God has given you. We have many parts in the one body, and all these parts have different functions. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in union with Christ, and we're all joined to each other as different parts of one body. So we are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. If our gift is to speak God's message, we should do it according to the faith that we have. If it is to serve, we should serve. If it is to teach, we should teach. If it is to encourage others, we should do so. Whoever shares with others should do it generously. Whoever has authority should work hard. Whoever shows kindness to others should do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. I have great admiration for people who never give up. The author who keeps writing until their book is published. The mountaineer who keeps climbing until he reaches the summit. The engineer who keeps trying until the problem is solved. The musician who practices day in, day out until they're able to play that piece perfectly. The inventor who keeps trying to make sure that things work. Or the mother who keeps loving their child, no matter what the child does, what they're involved in, what they get up to, they keep loving. It was in the words of Sir Winston Churchill when he gave that very powerful speech, and he simply got up and said, never, ever, ever, ever give up. And then he sat down. Those words ring true for us. Today we come again to renew our covenant with God. We come again to rededicate ourselves to his work. We come again to recommit ourselves to do whatever it is that God asks us to do. Whether it brings reward or not, whether we really want to do it or not. Some would say that we never give up. By committing ourselves again to such a difficult and potentially awkward task. So, to remind us to never, ever give up, let's go back to Paul's letter to the Romans that we read earlier. Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome, and he's writing in preparation for his visit there. So I guess the idea was that he would send the letter ahead, and that when he arrived there, they would have a document to discuss, or issues that he's raised would form part of the discussions that take place. But in Paul's letters, often they follow a similar pattern. Paul, we know, is a deep thinker, and he grapples with many deep truths. He explains his thinking in his letters, he unpacks theology, and as the letters continue, so they usually end with some practical advice. And that's where we find ourselves this morning, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And so it reads, as I read it again, "So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer." What is Paul saying to us at this point of his letter? In view of all that he's spoken about, in view of all that God has done and continues to do for us, in view of all the theology that he's put out in the letter, in view of all that, and some of those things that come in that letter are about our need for salvation, about God's way of salvation. In light of all that, what should our response be? And the answer that Paul gives very simply to that question is that we should offer ourselves to him in worship and in service. It was Count Zinzendorf who tells the story of a significant turning point in his life was when he saw a painting of Christ on the cross. The painter, whose name was Steinberg, had added the words at the bottom of the painting, "All this I did for thee, what hast thou done for me?" And Count Zinzendorf talks about the fact that that statement and that question changed his life. Because in that moment he understood what God had done for him, and he couldn't just not respond. And so he did respond to God. Count Zinzendorf went on to become a bishop in the Moravian Church in the United Kingdom. It was the Moravians who had great influence over John Wesley in his life. And maybe that is part of the influence that we have as we sit here as Methodists. But what is it that God has done for us? What does God continue to do for us? We can look at creation. God has created and he continues to create. God has created a wonderful world in which we live, with beaches and mountains and skies and animals and plants and flowers, wonderful gifts of creation that we're able to see, able to witness. Lisa and I often go for walks on the promenade, and as we walk along the promenade and we listen to the waves crashing onto the rocks, it's almost as though God is saying, "I'm here, take notice." When we see a beautiful sunset, it's almost as though God is saying to me, "Sleep well." Or getting up early and seeing the sunrise, it's almost as though God is saying, "I greet you this morning." Creation offers us so many glimpses of who God is. Creation demonstrates and displays all that God has done for us. Lisa sent me a meme the other day which said, "How can Capetonians say that they're going on holiday when they buy the holiday?" Just a reminder of the incredible surroundings in which we live. Mountains, vineyards, birds, sea, land, all part of God's creation, God's gift to us. Do we appreciate our surroundings? And do we recognize who gave it to us? What about all our skills and talents? God continues to give and has given us skills and talents that we use day in, day out, ultimately all given to us by God. Our gifts of poetry and music, of reading and writing, our skills of singing and playing, listening and painting, manual skills of working. When we realize that all we have ultimately comes from God, when all our skills and our talents are God's gifts to us, then we begin to realize all that God has done for us. Every new skill we learn is God creating within us, God giving more. Of course, what has God done for us and continues to do for us is through and in Jesus Christ. Above all, that is the greatest gift. And he continues to give of himself day in and day out. That special gift we celebrated in Christmas. But that's just the beginning of the story. We all know that Jesus grew. He eventually went, was baptized, ended up in the wilderness as God led him and guided him. He came back and he preached, he healed, he spoke, he taught, and eventually was led to Calvary and died upon the cross. And in that moment offers us the deep opportunity of relationship with God, reconciled relationship with God, because through his sacrifice of his life, we receive the forgiveness of our sins. And God continues to give of himself to us through Christ. Because as much as that event happened so many years ago, it wasn't a once-off event that everything is just done and dusted. It's a continuous giving, a continuous invitation into relationship with him. Every time we're convicted of sin, it's as though Christ is re-crucified. He's done it, but he continues to remind us that he's done it for us and continues to do it for us so that all our sins are forgiven. When we realize that God is continuing to do all this for us through Christ, we begin to realize, as Paul said, God's great mercy to us is what he continues to do for us. As much as it was an event, God continues to minister to us. And Paul is saying, in view of all this, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. In the Old Testament, we know that sacrifice was the central part of their worship. There were so many forms of sacrifice that we read about in the book of Leviticus, but each of them had a particular purpose. Some sacrifices were just a gift to God. Some were offered in worship, symbolizing the ongoing right relationship between God and his people. Some sacrifices were for purification. If somebody had been ill or had leprosy or had touched a corpse, they would go through that sacrifice or giving and sacrificing something for purification. Some sacrifices, of course, were for sin, as people asked God for forgiveness, asking God to demonstrate their forgiveness, their asking for forgiveness. And so sacrifice became so much part of their worship. We don't need to have sacrifices or make sacrifices any longer because Christ became the ultimate once and for all sacrifice. In Christ and his death upon the cross, that crucifixion completed all sacrifices for all time. We have access to God through Christ. So in effect, what Paul is saying is this: because of all that God continues to do through Christ, we are to continue over and over and over again to take our bodies, to take all the tasks that we do day in and day out, take all our ordinary work round the house, take our life in society, our participation in community, take our family and our friends, our walking, our running, our sport, our visiting of people, take everything that we do and everything that we say day in, day after day, day out, and offer all of that to God in worship. Offer all of that in God to worship. Yes, we do come to church to worship. We worship God in church, but we also worship God when we meet together with friends in a Bible study or a shared life group. Real worship is not about where we worship. It's not just about what we do when we worship. Our worship, real worship, is about everything. What we should be able to say is, I go to church to worship God. But we should also be able to say, I go home to worship God. I go to the supermarket to worship God. I go to the beach to worship God. I go to visit friends and family to worship God. I go to wherever I go, and in whatever I'm doing, I worship God. It's about giving the whole of ourselves over to God's service in response to all that God continues to do for us. And it is in doing that that we are then transformed. In doing that, in worshiping in everything, we become slowly more and more like Christ. Every day we chip away at everything that is not of God and allow transformation to take place. As God comes and lives in our lives, so we are transformed. That slow transformation takes place as we worship God every day and in everything. What did Paul say? Let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Because of all that God continues to do for us, we are called to offer the whole of ourselves, all that we are and all that we have, to God. But how do we do that? How do we offer all that we are and all that we have to God? How can we make that commitment to renew this covenant that we have with God? How can we say these words? I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will, rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. How can we do that? We can, because we never give up. Every year we make this commitment. And we will continue to make this commitment and recommit ourselves and enter again into this covenant with God, because we never give up. We never give up on God. We never give up on self. And we never give up on being transformed, both inwardly and outwardly. God never gives up on us. He keeps demonstrating his love for us. He keeps demonstrating salvation to us. He keeps meeting us. He keeps creating and he keeps giving. God never gives up on us. And so we keep committing ourselves to him. And we never, ever give up. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that you never gave up on us, that you never give up on us, And so today, as we come to make recommitment and covenant with you, we would pray, Lord, as we share in that covenant prayer, we would again make that commitment to you. And so, Lord, receive this act of covenant as we share together in the prayer, the covenant prayer. And so read with me as we make covenant with God. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will, rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. We sing together our final song. Who will save our land and people? Who will rescue us from wrong? Christ enough for all our needs, all our requirements. We sing together.
Who will save our land and people? Who can rescue us from wrong? We are lost and false and foolish. We have slighted God too long. Save the people, Lord our Savior. Guide us home from country far. Holy fire, consume our rancors. Thy kingdom come in Africa. Make our land as clean and wholesome as the white of seaward sands. Stretch our vision vast and boundless as our brown spread dusty lands. Make our people strong and steadfast as the hills that claw our sky. Hear our prayer for land and people. God bless Africa, we cry. We believe God is our Savior, Christ enough to heal our land. He will use the church's servants. We on earth, they stretched out hand. May his church in loving service, shown to all whose path is wrong, give a clear, united witness and proclaim Christ is enough. Christ enough to break all barriers, Christ enough in peace and strife, Christ enough to build our nation, Christ enough for death or life, Christ enough for old and lonely, Christ enough for those who fall, Christ enough to save the sin sick, Christ enough for one for all.
Thank you again for worshiping with us. Thank you for making commitment and covenant with God. I pray that his love, his grace, and his fellowship would be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.